Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. I'm excited about having our good buddy Rich Galen back on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Rich is... let me just say this about Rich. Rich is the first mainstream Republican American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. And he's our friend, too. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Right, thanks. I like Al Sharpton bathe every day.
The first time you like that, I bet no one's ever introduced you that way, Rich, before.
I can guarantee you that's right.
The first mainstream Republican American who is articulate, bright, and clean, and a nice-looking guy. You know, that may be the first time I've ever plagiarized anybody. Rich, tell the audience who I'm plagiarizing.
Oh, Joe Biden, what a dope. You know, this is the second time he's tried to run for president. Here's a guy, he's 64 years old, and he has never done anything but be a U.S. senator. He was elected when he was 29. The Constitution requires you be 30, but he turned 30 before.
And he had like a lemonade stand before that, right, or something like that?
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was like a city councilman for a year. I mean, he really has done nothing but be a U.S. senator for his entire life, for the last 35 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seriously run for president twice. The first time that he ran, his campaign also lasted about an hour and a half because he got caught plagiarizing from a British British guy named Neil Kinnock. He plagiarized something that Kinnock had written. He was a labor guy, and he plagiarized something about the coal miners, and he got caught at it, so that campaign ended. And this one barely lasted, you know, a day.
Right.
Before he talked about, you know, how, I mean, all he left off was, you know, he could run a hell of a, that Obama could probably run a really nice watermelon stand. I mean, it was just beyond belief. But for Obama's point, I mean, it took Obama 2 hours before he realized he'd been diffed. First he said, I don't think much about it. And then Obama starts thinking, wait a minute, I can't let this go.
And folks, in case you didn't know, this was a comment that Senator Joe Biden of Delaware made about Barack Obama. He said he was the first mainstream black American who is articulate and bright and clean,
right,
and a nice looking guy. Do you think he could have gotten away with it if he had left off the clean part?
I think if he had left off the clean part, they would have gone back to the bright part. In the column this morning, in Mullings this morning, I wrote about the fact that I assume that he's using bright in terms of intellect, not in the Jeffersonian sense. In the Jeffersonian sense, I mean, there's ample evidence now that Jefferson had a long-running affair with one of his slaves, Sally Hemings.
Sally Hemings, mm-hmm.
who was always described as a bright mulatto.
Uh-huh.
So the phrase "bright" became a term for a light-skinned.
So even if he left out clean, he wouldn't have gotten away with his.
No, I don't think so. No, and then of course, and besides that. Al Sharpton, who ran last time, briefly, I mean, he wasn't a serious guy, but he filed the papers and did everything right. And then, of course, Jesse Jackson ran twice, and they took offense at this, thinking
right.
that...
Well, those guys bathed regularly, I think.
Yeah, I guess he didn't think they were mainstream, I don't know.
Well, you know, how much political correctness is in this? Let's take out the obvious, you know, it was a dumb thing to say, but how much political correctness is in this?
Oh, it's
Rich?
All political correctness, and it's frankly, you know, at its base, it's silly because everybody knows he was trying to be complimentary. He was not trying to.
Right.
He wasn't coming up with some code word for a slur that he thought his supporters would understand and nobody else would get. I mean, Biden is well known for having diarrhea of the mouth, and this is just one of those examples of it.
Are we getting to the point where no one can even open their mouth without things being scrutinized, hyper-scrutinized? I mean, isn't this getting out of hand?
It has been for a while. The difference with the Biden thing is that normally Democrat, and this is my Republican background, so everybody has to calibrate with this. But typically, Democrats are treated better in these things than Republicans. Republicans are always have always been scrutinized like this. Now, because of the constant news cycle, everything that everybody says is scrutinized. Because who knows? Maybe you get 2 days worth of news out of it, and for these. You know, for these cable news shows, people don't understand that, you know, these poor bookers, the people that put people on, they got to fill, you know, 12 hours of live programming a day,
right.
You know, in 3.5-minute segments. And so they're always looking for something that, as we say in the business, as you know, that has legs that
right.
you can sustain for a day and a half or 2 days. And this is one of them.
We don't dwell on things that long around here. Only about 4.5 minutes. That's it. We're out of there. Stand by. Quick break. Right back with our good friend Rich Galen. By the way, folks, he is the publisher and the writer and the editor of Mullings.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good, who never ever learned to read or write. So
we're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. He is the publisher of the thrice-weekly outstanding political cyber column, Mullings.com. I'm a very happy subscriber. I read his stuff every week, all three times, and I encourage you to do the same. If you're a Republican, you're going to love it. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what he's up to. And I promise you, all will be entertained by his stuff. Rich, thanks for the good work you did, Mullings.com.
Thank you, sir.
I want to come back to presidential politics in a minute, but before we go there, I want to talk about something else. How are the Democrats doing in the first 25 hours of their legislative session? You know, they got this 100-hour thing, which we now know means actually 9 months. How are they doing in the first 25 hours, Rich?
Yeah, actually, you know, they used the lessons that they learned from Tom DeLay. And did very well. I mean, they came to the floor with the six items or whatever it was that they absolutely wanted to pass, and they gave in the House, you come to the floor with what's called a rule. The Rules Committee actually does come. It says this bill will be presented, and there'll be so much time for debate, equally divided, and there'll be these many amendments, you know, allowed, and that kind of stuff. They came to the floor with rules that said, you know, there'll be 8 seconds of debate permitted and no amendment. The 8 seconds is hyperbole, but no amendments is true. They allowed no amendments. And so it was up or down vote. And in the House, if you got more votes than the other guy, you win. So they did it. I mean, they mm-hmm. learned all their lessons well from our friend Tom DeLay, and they jammed it right down our throat.
Right. Well, what about the how's Pelosi doing? How's she doing as the first woman Speaker of the House?
Well, she got off to a rocky start, but I remember one time years ago when I was Newt's press secretary, when he was still House Republican whip, and it was one of those late nights and waiting for something to come over from the Senate, and then a guy named Tom Foley was the Speaker, a Democrat from Washington State, and he was just having the worst time. He just couldn't get anything done. He couldn't figure it out, and I asked Newt why he thought he was having such a bad time, and he said, this is a very unbelievably complex organism, the House of Representatives. I mean, there are deals that were made, you know, 10 years ago that nobody's ever talked about. And one of the reasons that the tradition is you sort of walk through the chairs, like at the Rotary Club, is because you got to learn all the unwritten stuff that goes on, who you can sit next to at the bar mitzvah and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. But she's done that. I mean, she has come up through the ranks, so she knows how to do this stuff. She tried to kind of bulldoze her way through in the early days and realized that there were limits to her power. But she's very smart. I mean, she didn't get to be Speaker of the House
right.
by being the prettiest girl on the block, because she ain't.
Well, she's a darn good politician.
Yeah.
But she has had she has tripped up on a few things.
Yeah, she has. I mean, the business with Murtha, that will come back to review the bidding. She wanted John Murtha to be the majority leader in the House. The majority leader really does control the day-to-day operation, and because she owed him a favor from years earlier. But Maryland Congressman Steny Hoyer was next in line, and he just flat beat him. I mean, he beat him like a drum, and that was a great embarrassment to her. Secondly, she got into this thing about who was going to be the chair of the Intelligence Committee. For reasons I've never been able to uncover, she and a woman named Jane Harmon, also from California,
right, a very capable, person.
Yeah, and was a very good ranking member. And the head of the minority party is called the ranking member. She was a very good ranking member of that. But for some reason, she decided that that was not going to be. She wanted to repay some slight, you know, from years earlier. Maybe they wore the same dress. Who knows? So she tried to put a guy named Alcee Hastings from Florida in. Alcee Hastings used to be a federal judge, was impeached and convicted, then came back and ran for Congress and was elected, which, you know, you can do that if you want. So having somebody at the head of the Intelligence Committee who was at a minimum slightly tarnished in his previous professional life didn't work. So she did have some missteps, but she seems to have her legs under.
Well, what do you think, you know, Rich, I really am kind of disgusted with the whole bunch of them up there. I actually don't use the term Republican and Democrat much anymore. I just refer to them as the 110th Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see much. I'm having trouble seeing much difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. What do you think about that?
I think that you're probably right. Of the 203 Republicans in the House, only 57, I think, were ever in the minority before January 4th of this year. So have ever spent more than a month in the minority before. So most of these people they've spent the last 12 years as the majority party, and they don't know how to act. So they,
that's,
I mean,
right,
they're just kind of, their eyeballs are still going around in little circles. They have no idea what to do. And so it's going to take a little. I spoke to the, as I call it, the aptly named Republican retreat last weekend, over in the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and my role was to try to help them understand how to deal with the press as the minority party, and so I did. I did, you know, an hour lecture on the differences. When you're in charge, you get to control the schedule. You decide when it's best to hold a hearing or never hold a hearing.
Who gets to go to the bathroom?
Yeah, that's right. And who's going to be called? Who's going to be subpoenaed? You get to do all those things, which drives the news, you know, coverage. When you're in the minority, you have to sit back and say, you know, cross your arms, hold your breath, turn blue, and hope somebody cares. And guess what? Nobody does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that you're talking about them, about the Republicans not knowing how to be in the minority. I don't think they knew how to be in the majority for those 12 years.
Well, we've talked about this off the air and on. I mean, the column I wrote right after Election Day was, you reap what you sow. I mean, these guys were bad stewards of the government, and they got fired.
Yeah.
And there's no two ways about it.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get back into the presidential politics thing and ask, one of the things I want to ask Rich is if he agrees with Fred Barnes, who wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal this week, and he says that the nation has an enduring center-right majority. I'm going to ask Rich if he still agrees with that right after these messages. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. A little bit of Steely Dan for you there in the background. Rich's website is mullings.com. That's M-U-L-L-I-N-G-S.com, and I encourage you to check it out and use it to your advantage. He is a great writer and a great American. Rich, I want to ask you this question. This is a quote from Fred Barnes, whom someone you know.
Yep.
It's a piece that he had in the Journal yesterday. He says, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit, only just to get it into the show, that the nation, the United States, has an enduring, this is the quote, an enduring center-right majority, end quote. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that is right. I think that is correct. It is neither hard left nor hard right. It is center-right. And by center-right, I think the easiest way to think about it is, if you think of a compass with 360 and zero at the top, that the majority of the country is somewhere between, you know, starting at about 20 degrees, you know, to the west, 340.
Right.
And the rest of everybody, you know, the rest of almost everybody else is no more than, you know, 0 to 20 degrees on the other side, but it's on the eastern side. And then you get to the, you know, the wackos that are, you know, at 90 and 270. But the truth is, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that they are the ones that attract the news because almost everybody else is, you know, has a real life, and they're just trying to make a living. It's the people that are on the edges that are newsworthy, in the same way that you don't get a, you know, nobody ever does, you know, here's Rich Galen driving to work, and today he stops at every stop sign, film at 11. You don't do that. So I think Fred's right, and I think if go back and look at even Bill Clinton's. After the 94 election, when Republicans took over the House, Clinton was perfectly happy becoming virtually a center-right president,
right,
even as a Democrat, something that Hillary's having a little bit more trouble trying to navigate.
Because of her base.
Yeah, because of her base and her background. But Clinton was a genius at it. I mean, they even had a name for it, triangulation. But he recognized where the country was, and so does Newt. I mean, Newt understands
right.
it as well. And I think these presidential candidates make a mistake. They're running campaigns like they did back in the 50s and 60s, where they run around trying to please those people that are at 90 and 270 degrees, to continue that metaphor. And on the theory that people will forget, because in the olden days you could say something in Alabama, as an example, and something completely different in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and the press corps didn't travel with you, or there was no national press, so you know, unless you
and no 24-hour news cycle.
Absolutely. So I think this the successful campaigns, maybe from this point on, but certainly from 2012 on, I think the old primary theories are drifting away because they're just not going to work anymore.
Well, that was my next question. You know, Fred Barnes may be right, but we don't elect people by popular vote anymore. We have the Electoral College. We elect them by states. And you can have a center-right leaning nation, but if you have enough states that go red or blue, then you're going to have a red or blue candidate.
Well, that's true. But that's not new.
Let me ask you this question though: the Iowa and New Hampshire and say even South Carolina, are we letting two or three? Are we letting a couple of hundred thousand people decide who our candidates are?
Well, that's one way to look at it. The other way is, if you can't organize Iowa and New Hampshire, how are you going to organize California? So, I mean, it does have a winnowing effect to get the less serious candidates out of there.
Yeah.
The other side of it is, remember that Bill Clinton was virtually out of the campaign until he came in second in New Hampshire, and he called mm-hmm. himself the comeback kid and went on to win the nomination. So I think in the full sweep of things, and in 2000, as an example, McCain didn't even participate in Iowa.
Right.
He went right to New Hampshire. So I do think that they tell us something about the capabilities of these candidates and their campaigns.
So it's like the farm league.
It's exactly right. I mean, it's more like preseason games.
Yeah.
The Redskins up here, lost all their preseason games and pretended they didn't matter. Then they lost almost all their regular season games.
Thanks for fixing that, because I don't want those Iowans coming down here looking for me. Hey, Rich, thank you for being here. Oh, by the way, quick one. I predicted that Mitt Romney would be the Republican nominee at the end of 2007, and Hillary Clinton would not be the Democrat. What do you think?
I think no on one, yes on two. I agree with you on Hillary. I don't think that Mitt Romney is going to be the nominee.
We'll see. Who do you think will be?
I don't know the answer to that. I just don't.
Come on.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't think we know. I mean, it might be somebody like Huckabee.
We're going to keep asking him, ladies and gentlemen, as the year goes through. Thanks, Rich, for being here. Good job today.
You bet.
See you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. Well, I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.